What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection Podcast, where we look at the craft of songwriting through the eyes of the songwriter. Each week, we make a connection with a music maker, listen to their songs, and hear their stories. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Linehan.
This is an interview this week that I've been dying to do for a long time. One of my favorite people in the world is here, and I'll introduce you, make the connection here. Although you have met her before, way on down the line, we'll tell you. This is episode 150, which is kind of a milestone,
yay!
I think. This week on Chartable, we were at number 36 in the United States with That's Music Interview podcast. I think that's pretty good. We've been as high as 25. That is a real volatile type of chart, you know. I think it changes weekly, maybe even daily. But anyway, we're proud. And what the point is, you're sharing it. And I just really thank you for that. Spreading the word. We're getting it out there. Over 610,000. And this is, as we're recording this, near the end of March. And, of course, if you're listening on the day that this podcast is released, we're approaching the middle of April. And this Friday, this new record is coming out, and we're going to hear some of it first right here. But let me get you some stuff here, okay? 150 episodes. We've had Opry stars. We've had hit writers. We've had Hall of Famers. We've had people that performed on the Opry. We've had a lot of up-and-comers, people that I really believe in, that you're going to hear from in the music industry, and as songwriters, too. And we look at the craft every week. We're all about the songwriting. So that's what we're all about. And we appreciate you hitting the like and subscribe on YouTube. And although we're not a video podcast yet, you can listen on YouTube. So there you go. Yay! So anyway, introducing this guest. She's a dear friend, and I will tell you, my all-time favorite singer. I mean, bar none. She's just,
wow.
It's her emotion. It's the way she can command a crowd. If you watched Eve Sellers perform, you'd know what I'm talking about. And I want to tell you a little bit about her. She has won 7 San Diego Music Awards, the Jim Croce Award for Excellence in Music, May 31st, 2008. May 31st, 2008 was Eve Sellers Day in San Diego.
Woohoo!
This lady, I'm telling you, man, huge. Yeah. And, of course, she's been here in Nashville for a few years. And yes. San Diego's loss is our gain. But it's not really loss, because you go back there and you do lots of shows and stuff.
Yes.
But anyway, Eve even performed in England, Abbey Road Studios, right?
Yeah. Pretty
with
neat.
With Tom Jones, right?
Yes, he opened for me.
Opened for you.
Because I played after him.
It
was the after party, but he still played. Yeah, see how that is?
I see. I could hear you two together, because those are two great voices right there.
What I wouldn't give to sing with him. Wowza.
Man. You ever see the video of like him with Janis Joplin?
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah. You're like, wow.
He's holding his own, too.
Can't do it, man.
Yeah.
And still at that age, too. So there's so much to talk to you about, but I wanted to just focus in a little bit on the gift. I thank God every day for music and the gift of songwriting especially. And if people ask me, Dave, what's your favorite song? I'm going to have to tell you it's going to be based on my emotional state at the time. You know, it could be Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. But, you know, the thing about songs is we've got a song for everything.
Yeah.
If you're in love, there's lots of love songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If you're not so lucky in love and there's a breakup, we got a song for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be in a party mood. And man, there's all kinds of songs to just get you wound up.
Right on.
Drink a beer, whatever, you know. But music also has an amazing healing property. A month or so back, we had Robin Ruddy on the show, who's just an amazing performer and multi-instrumentalist, and she lost her husband to cancer. And her album that she wrote, it just, you know, it's just absolutely amazing. And it's out there. Hopefully you've had a chance to listen to that interview and that record. So music has this healing power. It helps us deal with tragedy in our lives. It really does. And I thank God for that. And I think back... And I'll tell you some personal things about me. I lost my brother the year I moved here to Nashville. So it was about 10 years. And he had a rare bone cancer. And it was just rough seeing him go through it. But music helped heal that too. Because I remember the day he died, picking up one of his... He was the guitar player in the family. Let me tell you, that guy could play. And he was one of the best I ever knew. Mm. And I was so proud to call him my brother. He had that perfect pitch. You could... play a note and he'd say, yeah, I know what that is, you know. So on the day he died, I picked up one of his guitars. It's this one right here, Eve, this Black Ring song. It's my writing guitar because there's lots of inspiration in that guitar. I picked up the guitar and I started playing. I said, Russ, I don't know if you've ever heard this one before, but this was by Vince Gill, Go Rest High in That Mountain, because I knew it was ready.
Amazing.
And so I sang it and Kim asked me to sing his wife at his memorial. And I did, and the most amazing thing happened. I'm singing that song, and when I got to the middle part of it, I said, this is usually where Rusty would put in a big lead. I said, Russ, go ahead. And we were outdoor in this tent, and this breeze blew through the tent, right by me to this pine tree standing behind me, and I went, wow. Thanks, Russ. And I finished the song. So in that mood, you said, what's your favorite song? And I said, Go Rest High in That Mountain.
Absolutely.
So, point being, music has a healing effect.
Mm-hmm.
And this record that we're going to talk about today from Eve Celis is just amazing. And it's a record, I think, that has to be out there and music that needs to be heard. I'm going to start with Dark Sky Blue. That's the name of the record. And it's out on Friday. Dark Sky Blue is already out there. The first time I heard it, I had met Eve a couple of times through friends, and I watched her sing. But I was at Maxwell House here in town at a writer's round waiting to go on, and Eve sang that song. And I could see how emotional she was about the song. And there's a line in the song, I would have taken your place. And man, that just hit me right between the eyes, because I said that a million times. I said, you know, God, why him and not me? You know, it should be me, you know. And I would have taking his place, you know.
Yep.
And I remember approaching you afterwards and telling you how much that song hit. Mm. And I know it still hits you, and I know that you still have a hard time singing that on stage. So.
Yes, I do.
You've had a lot of tragedy, I know. And we don't want to go deep down that rabbit hole, but maybe you can tell us how music helped to heal.
Well, yes. Thank you for all of that, by the way. I'm just sitting here. You're so entertaining. I'm just like, wait, am I supposed, huh? Am I here? That was amazing. You were talking about music. There's a song for everything. And the thing about songs is they give us permission to feel our feelings.
Yes.
So, yes.
A good way to look at it.
Yeah. So that's why you listen to a sad song 30 times in a row when you need to cry, because it makes you cry, and then you cry, and then after, everybody knows after a good cry you feel better.
And
you go on to the next thing. So it's tried as it sounds, feeling is healing.
Feeling is healing.
Feeling is healing. It sounds so trite, but hold it inside, if you push it down, if you put it in a box in the back of the room, and I'll get to that later, that's a true statement, because it will come back and hit you hard later, sometimes harder than if you had dealt with it. So music has just always been healing in that way. And it doesn't matter. You can listen to a song in a language you don't even understand and start crying. Why am I crying? Right? Because the music itself is searing into your body and giving you the emotion. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the things on this record that when I talked to the producer, I asked him, I said, not only do I need these songs, the musically to feel, healing because of the lyric and the melody and the idea, but I have to have that music feel that way too.
Right.
And so he agreed, to be a part of this with that caveat of like, even if the music is just standalone by itself, I want people to feel healing in it, you know?
If they didn't hear the words at
right.
all.
Right. You know? Yeah. So that was just kind of a beautiful thing.
It's hard
thing.
To find a producer. Like Alex Wong yes. was your producer. He did a wonderful
Alex
job.
Wong. Mm-hmm. Amazing. He's here in East Nashville. He has his own Angel House South studio. And he is also someone who has, it's called... is it going to go out of my head? Synesthesia, which is a condition where you hear music and then you see colors, or you smell smells, or all of your senses are triggered, and you
it happened on an LSD trip one time.
Yeah, if you ever see the movie Ratatouille, which is a really cute Pixar movie, there's a scene where he's giving his brother food, and they do that with all the fireworks, and it does look like LSD. Wow. And that's what it's like for him with music.
Yeah.
So he really was able to kind of get in here, bring to, you know, he was raised with classical music, played piano and percussion.
Wow.
And the guitar. And then in high school, he fell in love with hard rock and went on tour as a drummer with the hard rock bands. Uh-huh. And so he kind of brought the best of both worlds together for me, because I told him, I want this record to be, if you two, Sarah Bareilles and Jeff Buckley had a baby, that's what I want this record to sound like. And I think he did it. So
wow.
I think I kind of went off on a little bit of a tangent there. But
no, you didn't.
I'm so grateful to Alex for what he brought to this. Because, you know, I wrote the songs and co-wrote them with other people. And as you know, because we've been on rounds together, mm-hmm. I barely play the guitar. Mm. I'm not a musician. I have enough information to be dangerous, but
that's
about it.
You do all right.
I can hold it.
Besides, you've got the Phil Keggy guitar.
That's right.
How could you not?
It's almost a sin that I'm playing that guitar, because he's so good.
By the way, while we're mentioning, there's a video clip on YouTube that people can watch of you and Phil and a little trailer of this album.
Yes, and so actually cool. We ended up putting the whole concert's up now.
Awesome.
Yeah, so if you just search on YouTube, Eve Sellis and Phil Keggy, there it is.
It
you can check it out.
And you can see what I mean about emotion. There's nobody that shows emotion in a song better than Eve. And she just
Thank you. So did you have do you want me to tell you a little bit about Dark Sky Blue?
Yeah,
or
please do. And I'm going to play it here. I want people to hear this song.
Yeah.
This song.
Well, I have to tell you, so the song is, written about my brother, and I lost him in a very tragic way. The kind of loss that brings you to your knees, and I dove into the darkest dark I've ever been into in my life. And I'm a glass half full kind of girl, but I was I knew that if I stayed in that dark place for very much longer, I was not going to make it out. It was that bad. And it was a couple of years before I was able to start writing and using music for the healing it was. So I had made a trip back I was living in San Diego at the time. I flew back to Nashville and I wrote 4 songs in a couple days, because that's how you do it when you're an independent artist. You're like, okay, I've got 4 days. Let's get as many songs in as we can, because it's a big expense to fly out and eat and drive a car and all the stuff. Make the most of your time. Mm-hmm. So I wrote Dark Sky Blue on that trip with Kim McLean and Doug Kreider.
And we love Kim.
We love Kim. She's one of my best friends. She co-wrote many of the songs on this. I mean, at least 5, maybe 6. I should probably count. This just happened to be a co-write that I set up with Doug, and he ended up writing the song with us. And about 2 months later, she flew out to California because I had a couple gigs that I wanted her to join me on. And we went to Idlewild, which is beautiful. It's about an hour 20, hour 30 minutes away from San Diego, up in the mountains. It's gorgeous. It's just incredible. And we had a gig at a winery / art house. And since she was there, I said, hey, let's play our new song, Dark Sky Blue. I'd never sung it before. It was an emotional experience when we wrote it, but you know how that is. You have a work tape and you just, and whatnot. So, but we'd never performed it out live, and I had no idea how hard it was going to be for me to sing it. And actually, I couldn't. Like, I started and I sang it, and I got, and then all of a sudden, my voice just gave out. And thank goodness I sang it with Kim, because she knew the song. She was able to jump in and finish it. Well, so first time I'm ever singing it in Idlewild. Well, in the back of the room, there's a table. like a belly bar table with about three women at it. Mm-hmm. And a friend, I only know this because a friend told me this because he was there in the back of the room. And he looks over and they're sobbing at this table. And he walked up to them and said, hey, I noticed you guys are upset. Is there anything I can do? Do you need any help? And they said, this was the first time that they'd gotten together since their sister had taken her life 2 months prior. Oh, now, what are the odds that the first time I'm ever going to sing this song just happens to be the first time these sisters get to back together to talk about the loss of their sister? Mm. I mean,
it was a sign.
It was a sign. It really was. And there's so much of those signs that
that you've had all along the way.
All along the way. And that's God. To me, for me, that's God. So, yeah, you can play a song.
Say no more. This is
that was a long story, sorry.
But I loved every second of it. It's a great song. This is the production. Dark Sky Blue, the title cut of the new album. Eve Celis, our guest.
Where was the world the day you needed someone to be by your side and help you make it through? What a smile or a touch or a prayer have made any difference to give you some hope and turn your dark sky blue? I would have taken your place, done anything just to find you. How did your life get so hard?
A sin to take that beautiful voice out of that mix. But like you were saying, if you did, if you could do that, I think that music alone would just put me in tears. I mean, the strings are so gorgeous in that.
Aren't they?
He did a wonderful job.
He did. And it was so fun to watch him do it because he did it on a MIDI.
He did.
So he played it on the keys. Uh-huh. So he got the melody he wanted. And then he was just moving things on the computer. Because he knows how to do that, right?
Yeah.
So he knows, okay, the violins are going to be here. The cello's here. The viola is in this space. And then he's just going like this. And I'm like, what is the sorcery? <You know? laughs> It was so cool. But what was better was
hot dogs are made, folks.
Having the strings come in and play it. It's just, there's nothing like it. I mean, there is nothing like a quartet.
Oh, my God.
I mean, and obviously in the studio, it wasn't a quartet. It was, you know, we're two violin players playing the same part four times. So it feels like an orchestra, but it's just the two players doing all the parts. So anyway, it was magic. Crazy. It was magic. And you know what was really hard for me? I just want to tell you real quick. At the very end of that song is a dissonant note.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, there's no answer. It's kind of like musical. Like, what will it take to turn your dark sky blue? And it's just like, you know, because, and at the time I was like, no, I can't have this. This needs to be beautiful, and these songs need to be, you know, healing. Da, 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 da. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, no,
that's perfect.
Perfect. It's the truth.
It's so crazy.
Will it take? We'll see.
Right away, my brain went back to if you've ever heard the original version, the Nine Inch Nails version of "Hurt,"
yes,
by Johnny Cash.
Yes,
they put that one dissonant note every time, and you go, that doesn't belong there. But then you realize that it just brings out the hurt, you know.
It does.
Yeah.
That tension makes you go, ouch.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, you're manipulating me.
See, you know, there's things like that in songwriting you need to think about. That you should think about. You know?
And he, and the guy, Trent, is it Trent? What was his name?
Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
From my neck of the woods.
Seeing, there's a lot of notes that are... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not quite in the same pitch.
Yeah.
And they just left it raw and ugly and dirty. Like,
it needed to be. It fit the song.
And it really did. And it really, like you said, it makes the lyric and the feeling
more powerful. There's a songwriting tip for you.
That's right.
Does your music say what you're saying with your lyrics?
Yes.
Do they match?
Right.
You know, and that really is important. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're writing Dark Sky Blue, you're with Kim and...
Doug Kreider.
Doug Kreider.
That's Susie Boggess' husband.
Husband. And he's a great songwriter.
Yeah.
I watch you play it and see the tears. I can't imagine the amount of tears you guys shared writing that song and how close it brought you together.
Yes. It's very interesting when you're... First of all, I was still too close to it, so...
Sure.
I'm relying on two people who are bringing the craft of songwriting into the song because I'm bringing the emotion and the feeling and the idea of it. And I'm trying to express myself. And we started this song four different times.
Wow.
And it would get going and it'd be a couple of things. And Kim's like, well, how about this? And, da, da, da. And I'm like, no, that's not it. Mm. And then I would talk a little bit more and okay, well. How about this? And then the minute she hit this part, where was the world?
Where was the world?
You know, because I think when you go through...
Powerful this, opening line. You gotta,
where was the world the day you needed someone? Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's Kim McLean brilliance for you.
She is brilliant.
She's just, honestly, love her to pieces. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, you just... When you lose somebody to suicide or... Like my brother's suicide event, you ask yourself all these questions. What if I had just, I was going to call him and I didn't call, but what if I had been there? And if I was there, what I would have, you know, you torture yourself with all the what ifs and the if onlys. And all that does is keep you going in a circle and you're in this energy of you'll never know. And so the only way you can get out of that energy is to just surrender it and let it go and completely change, which is where this record takes you. But it starts off in this place of what will it take? And I'm living that. I'm still living it. You know, I'll never get over it. I'll never be past it.
But is your dark sky a little bluer?
My dark sky is definitely
because of this
bluer.
Project.
Because of this project, which is why I wanted to share it. Because I thought, man, I mean, if it's just me that gets from this, then awesome. Because you know, I mean,
but you know, it's going to touch me.
But I do because, and I didn't realize it till I started singing some of these songs live, mm-hmm. and the people that would come up to me and start sharing their tragedy, like you, honestly, yeah. because what I didn't realize I was doing was opening a door that said, it's okay, I know, I get it, you can tell me, because nobody, we don't sit around and talking about it. Most people don't ever want to talk about it. And it's only when it's like, oh, I know what you've been, you know, what you've been through, what I've been through. I learned that you can't compare hurt and loss because everybody's different. What true. Would take me down, you might be like, mm-hmm. I could do that all day long in my sleep. You know, like everybody's ability to handle trauma and tragedy and life basically is different, right? Mm-hmm. So you just can't compare it. Pain is pain. Mm-hmm. Loss is loss. So when somebody sees that and recognizes that they can actually share and say, oh my gosh, my brother too, or my sister, or my mom, or my dad, or whoever it was, my best friend, then they can share it. And when you can talk about it and share it, you don't have to carry it by yourself anymore. And that's how we heal. Mm-hmm. And that's why you listen to a song. Like I still, at the end of that, when that song ends on that dissonant chord and they stop and it kind of, he just let it go till it left. He goes, I love hearing the strings kind of just lift the bow off, like kind of, you know, every time I just exhale, like, oh my gosh, because there's no answer. Yeah. There's no answer.
The next song I want to play, I imagine there were times where you felt like you were breathing underwater. And I remember the first time hearing this song too. We were playing a show at the Preston down the street.
Yes.
And the guy you co-wrote it with was there, Steve Brown?
Yeah. Steve Brown.
Steve
yes.
Brown. Yes. Who's a great songwriter.
And he's really, amazing. Yeah. I love him.
And you guys get up on stage and sang it. I'm like, whoa. That's
yeah. Cause
a cool
he played in the round before us, right?
Just before us. Yes.
And I'm like, hey, I'm going to, I wasn't planning on it because of course I can't play it. Well, I was learning it, but it's the confidence to be able to play and sing. That's anyway, doesn't matter. He's like, I'll play it.
You played it and you guys sang it. It was great.
Yeah.
And that came from an idea from, and this is really cool. You get ideas.
Yes.
So this was a book, right?
Yes. There's a book by Richard Rohr called mm-hmm. Breathing Underwater. And it's basically a talk he gave like 35 years ago uh-huh. on how he felt that the 12-step program was very biblical. There were a lot of biblical analogies in there.
Okay.
And so he kind of connects them all. So I'm not well-versed on the Bible, but I do have a friend who is in Alcoholics Anonymous, and she said, I think everybody should read the 12-step book just because there's so much good stuff in there that would help everybody throughout their lives. You don't have to be an addict to... or addicted to something to do it, even though I think we're all addicted to something, right?
Right.
Whether it's binge watching TV or chocolate, guilty.
binge watching,
right?
Yeah.
And so I bought this book and I started and I listened to books on Audible because if I start reading, I'm like, I literally get a paragraph in and I sound asleep. It's the weirdest, like narcolepsy with reading or something.
Happens to me too.
But I'll put my earbuds in and I'll go for a nice hike or a nice walk around my neighborhood and listen to this. And there's so many incredible nuggets. You could write a whole album just from this book. It is so good. You got to get it. I've listened to it like 8 times. I've no other book that I own in my Audible library have I listened to that many times.
Wow.
That's how good it is. Gotcha. And every time I do it, I'm like, wait. Oh, I kind of remember that, but that's new. When you know, like I hear something new each time.
Yeah.
So I just thought that the idea of, wait, you can't breathe underwater. what are you talking about? But that's what it feels like. That if any, like
what's the best analogy that you can.
Yeah. One of the things he talked about is anybody who's ever tried to breathe underwater knows the pain. Because you bring water into your lungs and it hurts and you're choking and you're coughing, you can't get enough air and you you're scared and you panic because you think you're dying because basically you're drowning. Yeah. That's what breathing underwater is. It's called drowning. Yeah. And so just that analogy of just saying that, what that feels like, I wanted to sing that song and I had been journaling about it and I read my journal to Steve Brown and he just started playing that lick, that, well, that this upbeat acoustic strumming thing he was doing. And I was like, oh, that's it. And then I just, the words just came. It, we wrote that song in like 40 minutes maybe.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I love it when it happens like that.
Yeah.
And you know, and contrast that to Dark Sky Blue, which you did at least four sessions on it, right? You
said, right. Yeah. In the session, four different starts. Oh, like, switch gears. Okay, how about this? How about that?
How about that?
Do you like this dress? Do you like this color? How about this jacket? Because that's what songwriters do, right?
That's what we do.
Absolutely. We sit around and we just talk, and then that excites somebody else's mind, and they go, oh, I know what you're talking about. Because one time someone said la la la, and then the other person goes, oh, really? Because one la la, and then you're off to the races.
That's it. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah.
And then there's usually one person with a guitar, maybe two or three, and they start, you know, based on what you're saying, just start picking something. Uh-huh. Oh, what are you doing there? That fits. That, you know, And it's so magic how it comes together.
And the best melodies come from the way you would say it.
Yes. So conversation.
And when you're talking, your voice, you don't just talk like this and sound like a robot and everything is one note. You don't do that unless you're a banker. Wait, never mind. I mean, Jeremy. No, or a robot. You talk about a story and then you go, and you know what happened next? And you cannot believe what happened. And so your voice is going up and down the scale. So it's changing. So it's so easy to find melody, even if you don't know you're already doing melody just by speaking to somebody.
How about that? Let's listen to the song, Breathing Underwater. Eve Celis, our guest, from the Dark Sky Blue album, which releases on Friday.
It's hard for me to take a breath. Got no idea what's coming next. I don't have a prayer right now. Scared to death I'm gonna drown. The more I fight, the more it pulls me down. Suffocating, empty, aching. Feels like I'm breathing under.
again, you know, with that prosody that we talk about, breathing underwater and the descending notes taking you, you know, like taking you under.
Yes.
You know, it's such a cool song.
Isn't that cool? The way he played the drums, I mean, he's playing just the snare, but he has that percussion type thing going, do-do-do-do-do-do. And it sounds like, you're like, it sounds like water.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, how did you, I know that's probably like, whatever, but I wouldn't have thought of that. And and that was Kim McLean. Singing backup vocals on
but that. But Randy Driscoll does too a little
yes,
bit,
she
right?
does. Yes, she does.
We love Randy. She's been on the show a few times.
We do too. We love our Randy.
Randy's
she's the best.
Revival.
That's right.
To Cambria. You and I and Kim are playing, and I know the album is out Friday. I think it's Monday at the 20th at the Pond.
Yes.
So if you're in town, come see us. That's in Franklin.
That's right.
Little
my neighborhood.
In your neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's why I had to ask you. You don't have far to go.
I have. Finally. I don't have far to go because I literally live 30 minutes from everywhere. It's a geographical anomaly.
Well, you know, but Franklin is so worth it. It's such a cool area.
It is.
I agree.
It's so, it's so quaint. And it's like you just step back into history. It's like 1950s, just classic downtown, the three blocks of the downtown. I just love it.
All
it's
the
so
shops
quaint.
And things. Yes.
Yeah.
You'll love it. If you're coming to Nashville, take a day to come to Franklin.
That's right.
You'll love it.
You'll love it.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You've been singing all your life.
Yeah,
I've read it somewhere that you feel that you've been singing your entire life.
I haven't.
What's your earliest memory of that?
So I don't have I do have an actual memory when I was 9, but younger, way younger. I'm one of 8 kids, so
8
big
kids.
Family. Wait, what? Oh. Big family, and wow. So 3 of.
Where were you on the?
I'm 5 girls in a row. I'm number 3. So
five
I'm the middle
girls
girl.
In a row.
Yeah.
Wow.
5 in a row. They kept trying for the boy. And they ended up with 3 boys. Anyway.
Oh, man.
So I got, so I'm sharing a room with one of my younger sisters. There might have been 4 or 5 of us at the time. Who knows? Mm. But I'm sharing a room with my younger sister. And my mom came in with her and put her down in the crib. And she said that she had been not feeling well and was just super fussy and couldn't, you know, just finally got her to sleep. Mm-hmm. And she came in and she said, be quiet. Don't talk to your sister. So she laid her down. She walked out the room. And all of a sudden she hears me singing, I've been working on the railroad all the live long day. Right? Just like that, you know.
Punk rock. I'm thinking it's going to be a lullaby or something.
Punk rock style like I was back there. Doesn't that sound like a punk rock version?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah,
oh, I've been working on the railroad all the live long day. Anyway, I sing like that. And my mom is so angry because she's exhausted.
Oh,
and she comes running back in. And she goes, why are you doing that? I told you to be quiet. She didn't say I couldn't sing.
That's a funny story.
So, I know. So, and my sister just stood up in the crib and went, hi. And my mom's like, she was slapping her forehead. So, but when I was 9, I had an uncle who made guitars and gave one to my older sister, Lee, who learned how to play a few chords. When all you need are 3 chords and the truth to play a song, right? And especially folk songs. So we would do family concerts, which would be very painful. If you hear the whistle blow, and they call the wind Mariah. Oh my gosh, you guys, it was just, anyway, we were doing it, and I was singing, and I heard my grandmother, my father's mother, lean over to him and say, wow, Eve has a really good voice. Mm. And when you're 9 years old and someone tells you you can do something, you're like, oh, I can do something.
I can
do this. And so I just believed that I could sing.
Wow.
And I just said, oh, I'm going to be a singer.
Is it?
Well, and then Carly Simon's song, You're So Vain, came out. And I'm like, oh, I want to do that when I grow up. That sounds like fun. Yeah. Pointing a finger at someone and singing your song. I thought,
that was a great song.
I know it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So when did you, I mean, seriously, when did you seriously think, this is all I want to do? Was it 9 years old? Or did you take lessons and grow to that? Or
no.
Join your first band at 10?
I wish. Like they do nowadays, right?
Oh, I work with this girl who's 13 years old and is absolutely amazing.
I know. Amazing. I think we did a round with her before.
Oh, yeah.
She's incredible. Okay, so yeah, no, I finished school and okay. And once I got out of school, I told everybody mm-hmm. that I'm going to be a singer. I sang all the time. I drove everybody crazy, especially my family. Like, shut up, stop singing. You know, I mean, they just couldn't.
I can't imagine.
A song all the time. Anyway, then I got out of high school and I started college and...
Now, did you play in bands throughout high school and college?
No, I sang in church.
Church.
Sing How I Am. I sang in church.
Sold it up.
But yay. Yeah. But I didn't do any bands until I got out of college. And that's when I started putting a band together and doing top 40 songs. That's because this was the 80s, right? So it's Flock of Seagulls.
And
it's
big hair.
You too. I had huge hair. It was amazing. Yeah, Aquanet. I can get you a picture. You'll be like, oh, you might want to use that for the cover. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No.
No, we're not going to do that. No. Anyway, somebody gets a hold of me. Hey, I hear you're a singer. You know? Yes, because I've told everybody.
Because I told everybody.
And I started just, you know, the long process of rehearsing to get, so you need 40 songs in order to be able to play a night of music. Back in the old days, you had to play four hours a night, right?
Yeah.
You had to play, and you had to sing all the songs, right?
Yeah.
So the problem with that is that you get a band together and you're not making any money. You're rehearsing. You finally get enough songs and then somebody quits. Dirty dogs.
Mark Allen Barnett says it's always after you've taken the group photo.
Yes.
Somebody clicks.
Exactly. No. Exactly. So then you got to get a new band member. You got to learn the song. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it took a while. And when I turned 20, I started playing out in clubs.
Was it always the Eve Sellers band or did you have different names?
No, it was my first band name was Notice to Appear.
Notice to Appear.
Because the guitar player in the band got a speeding ticket on the way to rehearsal, and it says at the top of the ticket, notice to appear. And
notice to appear to our show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What? Come on down. Don't break no laws. Anyway,
tell me about the Queen of the Roadhouse days in San Diego.
Yeah.
How exciting that must have been.
It was. It really was. You know, I lived in San Diego and did cover tunes for a long time. And then I finally moved to Los Angeles because you got to live in LA, right? Which is, it's just not a thing anymore
because
the internet. Yeah. And, you know, you can, you know, back in the day, you had to hire somebody to get your music into, you know, Italy or Spain or Greece or wherever you want to go, right? And England.
And today we get DistroKid.
Now you've got it. Baby. Now it's just they can find you anywhere and they do. Yeah. So anyway, started writing songs with my guitar player, dear friend, guitar player, family member, not bloodline, but he's my family, Mark Intravaya.
I always wanted to know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Intravaya.
Yes, Intravaya, which is why his stage name is Mark Twang with a G, because nobody.
I wondered if that was one and the same.
Intravaia. Nobody can pronounce that. So he's just like Twang. With
Twang.
A G.
Mark Twang.
So, Mark Twang.
I love it. That's so good.
Yeah. And so we just started writing songs together and recording. And it was actually, we joined a band to go do a Department of Defense tour in Europe.
Wow.
During the first Persian Gulf War, Persian Gulf War, which was 1991. We flew on a plane, 17 hours, got to Spain, walked down the tarmac, and there are tanks with guys with machine guns on the runway. Here I come from San Diego. I'm like, I've never seen. I was terrified.
That is
because there was a war going on. It was really frightening. And so anyway, we wrote our first song after 17 hours. He started noodling around on his guitar, and I started humming something. He goes, "Oh, wait, that's cool." So we got our tape recorder deck and push
Remember those?
Record. Uh-huh. And that's when we started our first song. And then we wrote a couple more and finished it and started recording. And that's 30 great. Years later, you know, this record, Dark Sky Blue, is the first record Mark has not played on really? In my entire musical recording career.
Is he feeling left out?
Oh, kind of, but not really. Because we didn't break up, like have a fight or break up. We just kind of started growing apart with what we wanted musically.
Well, then it happens. And
it happens,
You evolve as a musician.
Yes, exactly. And he's not hurting because he's touring with Richie Furay right now.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
I know. Wow. And he's got a band in San Diego called Back to the Garden, and they do all the songs from Woodstock and Laurel Canyon, and everybody loves them, and they're great. And it's basically my band, Yves Solo's band, turned Back to the Garden, and they're phenomenal. So there's just all love for each other and support for each other, and any chance we get, we play together.
Now, and you went back recently, speaking of Back to the Garden, and you had a very special show just weeks ago with your daughter and niece.
That's right. Tell us a little bit about that. That's right. Well, we did this last year because my niece, Lauren Lee, had a CD release concert, and she talked to she talked to the Belly Up Tavern and said, hey, what would you think if I had my aunt and my cousin join on this show? And they thought that was kind of a cool angle. Sure. And all our music is really different. Like my kids' music is very, their band is called Omo Cloud, and it's very, very, you know, indie rock. Indie rock pop. Okay. And then there's me, I'm Roadhouse Rock / all this new stuff that I'm doing. Yeah. And then my niece had her new one when she's more groove oriented, R&B groove folk.
Yeah.
If that's a thing. So it was just so singer-songwritery, but R&B, like she sounds like Kelly Clarkson, my niece.
Really?
She's got such a good voice. And so does my kid.
Imagine we can find their stuff
Omo
out
Cloud.
There too. Omo Cloud.
Unbelievable. Yeah, they're check both on Spotify. They got stuff all over the place.
Good.
So
check it out. So, you know, and I just have to say, because you know what you're talking about, Roadhouse Rock days. So would you consider, well, this is probably not a fair question, but this is kind of a departure, what you normally
completely.
You've had how many records, like 10, 12?
This one is number 13, but that includes two Christmas albums. So. Okay.
Well, you got to include
But you know, you got to include them.
Yeah, you do.
I spent the money. Come on, people. Well, there's a couple of original songs on there, but they're mostly covers.
Well, I guess what I mean, this is so different than what you've had out there
different
before.
Than
I was listening to your last record before you came in, and it's just wonderful.
Thank you.
But
yes, and that was produced by Kenny Greenberg, who is a Grammy Award-winning producer here in Nashville.
That's awesome.
We have Alison Moore and Joan Baez. And
girl.
I know.
Man.
I know.
Crazy.
So, you know, this, I got to tell you, this was very scary. To do this, to just go, I need this record to sound different. I need every, this is what happens when you ask God for new musical experiences. He's like, okay, you're going to move to Nashville. Oh, there might be a pandemic going on. Then you're going to, finish all the songs, and then you're going to find the producer. And then, you know, oh my gosh, it was a long time. I took an entire year to record this. Mm. I started the first in 2023, January. Five songs, and then I needed to raise money for the second half of the album. And in July, I did the second half, and then I needed to raise money to finish the master and manufacturing and all that. So, yeah.
I have to tell you, I don't think I was ever excited about hearing new music as much as I was at this album. Oh. And I knew it was coming, it was well worth the wait.
So, oh, thank you, Dave. I'm so, I gotta tell
right
you,
here.
You write songs, they're your babies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
And sometimes they're, you know, they stay like bratty teenagers, but sometimes they grow up to be fantastic adults. And
yes,
you love them all, and it's hard to choose. And there's so many songs I've written with Mark and on the Sing With Your Heart CD. I love that CD.
It's a great one.
But this one, there's probably because these songs are helping me heal.
Yeah.
I listen to this almost every day.
Do you really?
I've never done that with any record. Usually, after you're done recording, you're like, if I ever have to hear these songs again, I'm going to throw up. Like, because you're so focused on it and it's just so time intensive that you don't want to. And this record,
it says a lot.
It's just, sometimes I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh, is that me? I'm singing these songs. Like, I wrote these songs and it still feels like otherworldly to me.
Something.
And it's just,
and I think
it's
you're
just
always
abused.
Your own worst critic.
Yeah.
I really do. And so to listen to that
actually, Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
Agreed. And so I'm so grateful for it. And that's one of the reasons I really want to share it. Just like, and you know this, because when we played together, someone would come up to me at every show going, where can I get that music? I need that music right now. And if it's not for them, it's for somebody else that they love that's hurting. And so you don't have to be hurting to listen to this music. You don't have to be in severe depression and grief and loss.
No.
Because that's not how we live our lives. Like, that's something I learned that you're not like, today I'm just going to be all grief and tomorrow I'm going to be all joy. Or
it doesn't happen.
Sometimes you're up and down within the hour.
Yeah.
Like, that's human. That's being human.
Have a Snickers bar and boom.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And I could talk to you for hours.
I know. I love you so much.
Love hearing the stories behind it. I want to play one that's become really an anthem, and you have an amazing story behind this song, and it's Choose Love. Yes. And this is another one of my favorite songs. It's one I've heard before the album ever came out.
Yeah.
And I love it because you do it in rounds, and you get everybody singing with you. But the story behind it is absolutely incredible. Will you share it?
Yes, I will.
Because this is, again, part of that healing process.
Yeah, so it is part of the healing process. So I mentioned earlier that I was in the dark, dark, dark place, and I was there with my brother. Like, it was bad. I think I have more understanding of what that must feel like to want to not go on anymore, because I didn't want to go on anymore. And I thought, I'll never sing again. I'll never do anything again. Like,
really?
I could barely,
you thought you'd never sing again?
Never sing again. I'll always be that girl whose brother did that thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it was that. So I couldn't even listen to music.
Really?
Because it hurt too much. There's too much pain. And I was in England about a month after, because I'd had a trip planned, and I wasn't performing. It was a business trip for my husband, and I had been invited, and I decided to go, which was the best thing I could have done, because I was out of the country. Nobody knew who I was, right? I get there, and I'm going through some crazy healing stuff that I'll tell you about in the movie version. I'm just kidding.
ought to make a movie.
But about 6 to 8 weeks after you go through trauma and tragedy, that's kind of when you can start thinking again and surviving a little more than surviving. And it takes about 3 months before you're finally able to kind of get back into your life.
Yeah.
Well, my therapist told me, she goes, Eve, you need to get out into the sun. You need to get some vitamin D on your skin. Even if it's just 10 steps from your front door to your mailbox, you need to do it every single day. And what I want you to start saying is, like a little mantra, as you're walking, just say, I choose love. I see love everywhere. I choose love. I see love everywhere. So I started out walking, and I liken it to Miracle on 34th Street, when at the very end of the movie, when Natalie Wood's character, she's a little girl, and she doesn't get what she wants from Santa Claus, and you know, her mom tells her, you know, even then, things don't go the way you want, you still have to believe. So she's in there going, I believe, I believe. And I'm doing that, like, I choose love, I see love everywhere. Like, I didn't believe it at all. I was saying words. But the crazy thing happened, where after a while, I started believing the words I was saying. And once that changed, that energy changed, then I started seeing love everywhere. I would see it on the pavement in gum, squished into a shape of a heart. Mm. In the clouds, I would see clouds shaped like hearts. I would see all the trees, many leaves on trees are shaped like hearts. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And you just start seeing it because you're looking for it, because you just keep saying it over and over and over. And so, of course, I came to Kim and I said, I need this song just to continue to climb out of this pit. I was in a dark, dark, dark hole. And I need a song that energetically I can sing that's just going to help me continue that process of healing. And so she and I wrote it together, and she came up with the melody. She wrote many of the words from the things I said. I think I have a couple of ands and buts in there. Just kidding. But, you know, when you write a song with Kim McLean, it is a magical experience to be with a songwriter that is so good with lyrics. And knows you so well as an artist.
So good.
And also knows me as a friend. And then also sees me in my trauma and tragedy. Oh, and just happens to be my pastor.
That's right.
As well. She has a church called Music City West. And if you ever want to hear the gospel preached by a song, a somebody who sees the Bible like a songwriter does. Yeah. It's Kim McLean. It's amazing.
Songs are all songs.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and she's written a few songs from the Psalms. Anyway, I digress. She is a rock star when it comes to preaching. I'm just going to put it there, right there. And I'm just,
I just always every call week, her rock star when I see her. She really is.
Every week. I'm like, by the way, that's just exactly what I needed to hear.
If you go back to future past episodes, you'll hear the interview with her about the book with Loretta Lynn. That's an amazing interview.
Yes.
And if you go back even further, there is a special episode with Eve and Kim together singing their beautiful harmonies. So but let's do Choose Love, okay?
Yes, I Choose Love.
I Choose Love. Yeah. It's Eve Celis from Dark Sky Blue on the Songwriter Connection podcast.
When the shadows fall and feet to black, and waters reach and crash, and the ground I stood on grumbles out from under me. When the ones I trusted turned away, and they bent me until I could break, my defense is my surrender.
It's like we've come full circle, you know, and now we choose love. Yes. It's just a great way to end it. That piece of work right there is so orchestral. It's so classical. There's so many levels to it. If you listen, go back and listen. That's all about podcasts. You go back and listen to the song again.
Yes.
Listen to the percussion, you know, the different levels that I'm talking about. And at first you weren't sure about that,
No.
About that percussion.
No. Well, actually, I actually loved what he did with this, but I had a friend who listened to him and said, I don't know about that percussion. And I don't know about that. I don't think that's right. And then on the second verse, it stops because the line is when forgiveness seems just out of reach. And so it's like, I know. And because my producer, you also want to work with a producer who's a songwriter. Yeah. So he's also an artist and songwriter himself. That's but cool. Then he can arrange string parts. he can play every instrument. He played many of the instruments on here. He did hire somebody for the electric guitar solos and the bass. And he didn't play any of the strings, but he arranged all the parts and wrote them. He wrote them and arranged them. So that's somebody who sees, like you said, it's orchestral. He sees that level of what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I mean, imagine, you know, especially in the world we live in today, I feel like there's so much focus on the negative and, you know, the darkness sells. It just does. I'm sorry. We want, you know, like it's kind of human nature. You see a car accident and you like, can't look away. Or you're like, I'm not going to look. Oh God, I looked, you know, you're driving by or whatever. Like there's something in us that is drawn to it. But if you've got a whole room, imagine if there was a stadium full of, 65,000 people singing, I choose love. Well, no, to darkness. I choose love and light, and I don't know. It's very powerful.
We've sung it at Randy's Revival, a lot of different rounds around town, and you always get people in there singing the same thing.
And you're in a bar, they want to join in.
Because
it feels good, and why wouldn't you choose love?
Why wouldn't you? Yeah,
come
exactly
on.
Right.
Come here.
The other thing I wanted to say about this and bring out. Eve is part of this trio, when we can get them all together in the same room.
I know, one of the days.
Called the Three of Hearts, and I love them. It's Kim McLean, who we've talked about.
Yes.
The lovely, talented, wonderful person, Randy Driscoll, who's been on the show a couple times, and Eve. And together, their voices harmonize so well.
Yeah.
And that's all three of you together on the chorus of this song.
Yeah. Yes. And they're singing I Choose Love in those three-part harmonies. And
it's beautiful.
I'm going to do my CD release concert. I'm going to do one in Nashville and one in San Diego, California. And the one I'm doing in San Diego, California is on June 1st. And I'm going to have a quartet. I'm going to do all this stuff. But I'm also singing with the voices of our city choir.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know.
Wow.
And they were the choir that was on America's Got Talent. Yes.
Whoa.
I know. And I have a video for my song, which is a CD. I mean, my last CD is called See Me With Your Heart.
Great one.
And that song, I did a video. It's on YouTube and you can watch it. And they are the choir singing at the end. And they are in the video as well with pictures and photos. And I asked everybody to write down their truth or their hope on a card and just hold it up.
Nice.
So that's the whole video. Anyway, so they're going to be on it. So imagine how that's going to feel in this room where we're singing. I've got the strings there. We've got the, you know, all the musicians doing their thing, the percussion, and then the choir.
No.
I know.
What?
It's going to be so good.
It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be epic.
It really.
And then I'll do it there so I'll know what it's going to be like. And then I can bring it to Nashville.
Great.
And the other good part is that my friend Chris Horvath is going to write all the charts out for me.
Oh, that's great.
And for the strings, because he knows how to do that too.
Wow.
So I'll be able to give those to musicians here.
Awesome.
Fabulous. It'll be great.
Very good.
I know.
Eve Zellis, such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We took up a lot of time talking, didn't we?
That's all right.
Yeah, terrific.
That's all right.
I can't help it. Dave, thank you for what you're doing. It matters. It's so good to put that spotlight on songwriting. Everybody should write one song.
Everybody should.
Everybody. And don't.
And everybody can.
And they can. And don't even think about singing it or playing it for anybody other than being able to say, I wrote a song once.
I'm going to go on a squirrel train moment. You were writing, with prisoners in
for
went to
the
jails
beat.
And talked to and got their stories and wrote songs.
Yes, the beat of life.
It's called the beat of life.
Yes, and they go into prisons, they go into mental health facilities, and they go into centers for abuse, and they help write songs with people for their healing. Hello, you get to share your truth and you get it out, and then you have a song now to music, which helps you remember it, which helps you continue healing.
I feel that we've done a lot of healing today.
I do too.
Thank you for that, Eve.
Thank you, my friend.
We'll catch you next week on the Songwriter Connection.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Find us on social media at Songwriter Connection. Also, listen to Dave Lanahan's Nashville Connections radio show. It streams live every Friday morning on WOBL and WNOI. Look for us on Facebook and YouTube. See you next time on Songwriter Connection.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.